Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to give this challenger talk. Actually, when accepting, I didn't really realize what was going to be a challenger talk, so I make a brainstorming with a few of my colleagues. Basically, I'm interested in CI's predictability, but now I'm more involved in things like ocean modeling, things like that, so it's more here. To fill the gap, but it's just a way to. So the mind is MCH at the end. Very modern. Okay, so I found relevant after the presentations. I found relevant after the previous presentations to talk about to focus on flows, on modeling issues. And flows in our representation of the ocean sea ice processes that can bias our approach to narrow down, for example, so the polar and non-polar. So polar lower latitudes linkages. First, to apologize, it will be mainly focused on the Arctic, but not only. And then it's more for those of you who are on Twitter and for also English guys and colorblind people. Sorry for the remaining rainbow color bars. Okay, when talking with my colleagues, we are comparing the polar lower latitudes linkages to this guy here, the Schrödinger cat, which is in a box and either dead or alive. But to see if he's dead or alive, you have to open the box. And by opening the box, conceptually, you kill him or let him be alive. And our point here is that, okay, due to lack of observation, we need models to investigate polar lower latitude linkages. And doing so it's kind of, okay, we'll try to open this box and using very constrained and crude models, how can we do to not kill the cat every time we'll open the box? This is my point. Okay, so here are four challenges. So because we are late and you will need all a coffee break, maybe I will be short on the fourth challenge, but I will discuss these four challenges, which is increase the resolution, have a realistic representation on flood ocean interactions with respect to freshwater input, for example, get a consistent representation of the air ice ocean surface layer, and then another challenge, which is producing long and reliable reanalysis focusing on the polar oceans. Okay, the first one is the challenge on the resolution. Here I go back to this plot on the Atlantic water. So the Atlantic water, so Mikhail described it as lots of gyres. The thing is that, so it's a major source of heat in the Arctic Ocean, so it's very important to get a good representation of it. And the thing is that having the right energy is not enough, because then to have this gyre progressing, you need to have the eddies to maintain the boundary currents that flew all around the Arctic, the cyclonic flows. And actually, we did some kind of experiment at Mercator, so comparing from one medium resolution to high resolution run. And here I show some sections, so temperature, salinity sections, and here current, here in the Laptev Sea. And you see here that we have a kind of improvement here is with this core of warm and saline water, which is not present in the medium resolution model. And here we see also that this is the boundary current, which was not really present here in the fourth degree ochre. Okay, so this here high resolution improves, but the question is, and this is very challenging, is this resolution here, which is 2 to 6 kilometer, fine enough? And this is a very recent paper by Nelson Bacon, which calculated the Rossby radius. And the Rossby radius in this area here, you see it's like 8 to 6 kilometer, and also less in the Chelves. So it's really challenging, because here we see that this resolution is not enough. So we are going to go to 20 or 36 degree. And this is also an issue for the incorporation of Pacific water inflow within the Beaufort Gyre. Okay, the second challenge is about land-ocean interaction. I'm going back to, so it's a point that's already been mentioned by Hugh Gus in his talk. So first, okay, in the Arctic, one of the most important contribution is a river runoff. And often in the model, it's climatological forcing, or if not climatological forcing, it's not well introduced in the ocean circulation. But for the Antarctic, mainly more relevant, is a forcing from ice caps, which is both a climatology and also uniformly distributed over an arbitrary area. And the problem is that this uniform distribution, for example, you can, by using some data, here is data from remote sensing, from altimetry, have this special distribution of small icebergs and see that it's far from being uniform. And this can be used to feed a model, ocean model. And here is still the system from the Mercator in France, where they did, so here I showed just a sensitivity experiment, but the effect is obvious by using both the distribution, but also building an annual cycle, and also feeding a trend based on remote sensing data. And we see that there is a downline, there is an impact on the certification, of course, but also effect on the AMOC, which goes as far as to the equator after 5 years. So it's very important things to keep in mind, that this land-ocean interaction have to be properly represented in the models. Then it's mainly, I think it's one of the points I'm more interested in, is the air ice ocean surface layer. And this is something that is so related to the dynamic of the Beaufort Gyre freshwater storage. Here is again this spot by Proshutinsky, co-author. And when we know that this the dynamic of this freshwater storage is driven by Ekman pumping. And so, because due to the presence of sea ice, it's very important to get the good, and also it's more important, consistent representation of the energy and momentum transfer from the atmosphere to the ocean through sea ice. And to get this transfer, well, we don't have just to use the atmosphere, feed the ice model, and then look what's happening, because there is all this story about the surface layer here, which has to be well represented. And this is something that has been that is currently investigated, for example, in Environnement Canada and Canadian Meteorological Center, where instead of using a very constrained framework, they use a consistent approach both in resolution and using atmospheric forcing at the pronostic level, and then having the realistic representation of sea ice roughness, the right energy, so working on the right energy dissipation within sea ice. So this is always the same history about rheology. Then having the right distribution between ice and leads, which is very important. And then maybe the newest thing in this work is improving the representation of ice ocean fluxes using the boundary layer theory and not using a constant based on observational thing. And then also working on a mixing scheme, but it's something beyond my presentation.
Oh. Time is over.
Okay. Maybe I just okay. So, and here are some a few results of this experiment. So, to get this consistency, they had to increase the to introduce a roughness length below the ice, and which leads to an increase of what is currently it's commonly done, and also to get to decrease the air ice roughness on top of the ice. And what he's doing is so without this this modification, they have this very common bias, which is the thickness bias, which is this spot of thick ice in the Beaufort Sea, which has lots of implication on the freshwater storage. And this all this modification leads to large improvement, and this has a lots of impact on the stress which is transmitted to the ocean. So an impact on the Beaufort Gyre freshwater content, and which is more important to our subject, impact on the freshwater exported through Davis Strait and Fram Strait. Significant impact, actually. So finally, just about the reanalysis, because this is what we will do. We will use then to produce long-range prediction, to initialize long-range predictions. And this, the problem with this reanalysis is here I show, for example, it's still in Mercator, it's 2008, and this is here actually during the international polar year when there has been a lot of observations actually in the Arctic. Just have a look at how they are taking into account in the model. So it's basically, it just showed the need for more observation because it's very localized, and compared to other areas, it's not much. But another thing is that there is not only the lack of observation that hinders this reanalysis thing. It's also the fact that there are also data assimilation and modeling issues. And here's just an example of horizon of the ocean reanalysis. And I just show here a snapshot of sea ice concentration, but just looking at the upper 10% of sea ice concentration, and just to show that here you have the green dots are the reanalyses that assimilate actually sea ice observation, and just the concentration are really different, which is different lead fractions. And so this is both a data assimilation technique issue, but also a modeling issue. For example, this model, this is not a problem of data assimilation, and this may have very, very much of impact. This has actually lots of impact on the heat flux. For example, when we perform AMIP-like experiments, just using that to force this model. So, this is the conclusion. So, this is the challenges we saw in getting better use of ice ocean models to investigate the polar and lower latitude linkages. Is to just to go to this all these points, and for that it's just always the same whole story. The two most important things, it's just talking to that the regional modeling community, for example, for the Arctic Ocean is famous, or AOMIP, former AOMIP, to really talk to each other with the global climate modeling community, and also thinking of the ocean, thinking really in correlation between atmosphere, ice, ocean, and land modeling communities, because all these things are related, even if we are just focusing on sea ice, on ocean and sea ice. And finally, also think seamless, because the study of air, ice, ocean, surface layer, and drag is something that is done for an operational numerical weather prediction system. But we see that just running it a long time, this has impact on decadal time scale. So this may be something that may have an impact also in decadal on digital timescales. So it's really important to think seamless that what you do at short timescale may also have impact on digital timescale. So that's it. So please don't kill the cat, and thank you very much, and have a nice coffee break.